Chapter 10, An African Wedding. It was March 29, 1958. Roland and I rejoiced as I disembarked from Pappy, Mr. Letourneau's plane, and we met in Liberia after being separated for 2 years. The Lord had been so good to us, protecting us, guiding, and providing to make this day possible. A Liberian man came out to the plane dressed in ordinary clothes, no uniform, and asked me for my passport. I thought it was a little strange, but I gave it to him. When he started walking out across the field instead of back to the terminal building, Roland ran after him and got the passport back. I do not know what the fellow planned to do with it. He returned it without protest. I had a royal welcome to the Elwa Radio Village campus by the other missionaries and the Liberian staff. Roland had told the Liberians he was going to marry a bush girl, so they were curious to see what this bush girl was like. People who lived in the jungle's interior were called bush people, and my maiden name was Bush. I was in a fog from jet lag for a few days as we made the final preparations for our wedding. I stayed with one of the single missionaries while I waited for our wedding day 3 days later. One of the first items on the agenda was for Roland to show off the beautiful cement block house he had built for us to live in. He already had a few items of furniture in it he had purchased from some missionaries who had returned to the States. I looked forward to hanging up my curtains and putting the feminine touches on the house when my things arrived from the USA. The missionary nurse, B. Barnard, invited us to her home for lunch on our wedding day. She asked me what I wanted to eat, and I said I was too excited to eat, but I might eat a bit of soup. When I saw her breadfruit casserole, it looked so delicious, I decided I was hungry after all. I had arrived on Saturday, so Roland and I could not get our marriage license until Monday. Our wedding was scheduled to take place the next day, Tuesday, April 1st, 1958, April Fool's Day. That was Roland's idea, not mine. Later, when someone asked the date of our anniversary, Roland would tell them, April 1st, and I thought it was a joke, but it turned out to be serious. He was a terrible tease. When we discussed our wedding date by ham radio before I came to Liberia, I begged him to wait at least one more day, but he insisted he did not want to wait even one day more to claim me as his bride. That Monday, we drove into the capital city of Monrovia, 10 miles from the Elwa campus. I could not believe where Roland took me to get our marriage license. The Liberian Department of Agriculture. We climbed up a flight of rickety wooden steps on the outside of an old wooden building to a dilapidated porch upstairs. In a few minutes, an old man came out of the building wearing a bathrobe and sat down at a battered desk on the porch. After asking a few questions, he typed the information onto the license and signed it. We gave him $8, and he wrote out a receipt and put it into an envelope. When we opened the envelope later, we saw the receipt was made out for $2 instead of $8. Oh well, we had our license and could get married the next day. In fact, the man had told us, as far as the government was concerned, we were already married as soon as he handed us the marriage license. Back at Elwa, the missionaries were all buzzing around, preparing the large, unfinished studio in the radio station for the wedding. The studio doubled as an auditorium for church services. The Liberians had woven large grass mats to hide the bare cement block walls. The mats were decorated with palm branches and beautiful tropical frangipani flowers with their exotic fragrance filling the room. The ladies were busy making bouquets for the bridesmaids. They decorated my little white imitation pearl-covered Bible my mother gave me with delicate pink coralita flowers resembling miniature sweet peas. I carried that instead of a bouquet for the wedding. The ladies had baked and decorated the wedding cake and prepared other goodies for the reception. The Liberian ladies prepared a big chicken palm butter and rice feast for the neighboring villagers attending. They took care of every detail. I did not have to think about anything except getting dressed and getting to the studio. Our wedding took place at 8 p.m. Liberian time. The studio looked beautiful in the candlelight. It was filled with about 300 invited guests, including missionaries, Elba Liberian staff, the diplomatic corps, government officials, and other friends of Elba. Sophie Delahaye played the organ prelude, and Dick Reed sang the songs I requested, but I did not hear or see any of this. Roland and his missionary friends were having so much fun behind the scenes, they forgot all about picking up the bride and her matron of honor and taking them to the studio. Finally, they realized the bride was not there, and Hirsch Reese came flying down the road to get us. During the ceremony, Roland and I quoted our marriage verse to one another, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 34, verse 3. The whole wedding was recorded and broadcast on the North American Report by shortwave to the USA and Canada at midnight that night. It was 7 p.m. in Illinois and 8 p.m. in Georgia when both sets of our parents were sitting in front of their shortwave radios, straining to hear every word. Even though it was not possible for them to attend, at least they were able to hear our wedding the same night. Roland and I stopped by the carpenter shop after the wedding to greet the villagers enjoying their part of the wedding feast. They were so busy eating, they hardly noticed us. We then went to the Delahaye's house, where the main reception took place. When we could get away from there, we drove down the lane to our new home, and Roland carried me over the threshold. We borrowed the Delahaye's car for our honeymoon. Roland had never driven it at night and did not know how to turn on the lights. He finally figured out the lights would stay on as long as he held the switch on the steering wheel. In those days, most American cars had a switch on the floor to operate the lights. This car had evidently come from Europe. Roland had reserved a room for us at the Liberian Institute of Tropical Medicine guest house. The staff was ready and waiting for us when we finally arrived around midnight. We ate most of our meals there at the guest house, but had hamburgers at the airport a few times. Sunday was Easter, and we wanted to be sure to attend a worship service. A little church on a hill was not too far away, so we dressed and drove there. The church was strangely quiet and deserted. We stayed around for a while, taking pictures of each other and the unique view. Finally, someone came by and told us the church folks had an Easter sunrise service and then went home, so there would be no other service. Roland wanted to show me more of Liberia during our honeymoon week. One day we drove through the millions of rubber trees on the Firestone rubber plantation to visit some friends working along the Dew River. While there, we rode in a dugout canoe to a small village on an island in the middle of the river. The little village of mud huts with grass roofs was spotlessly clean, even though the floors were made of smooth dirt. The people kept everything swept and clean. They invited us to stay in their little guest house hut, but we declined. On our way back to our guest house after dark, we got lost in the midst of all the rubber trees and were about to run out of gas. We were not sure what to do, but we prayed, and the Lord sent a watchman to us. He has a little gas in a small building where he stayed. He gave it to us and gave us directions out of the plantation. The Lord is good. We enjoyed our honeymoon, but we're glad to get back to Elba and begin our life together in our new home. When we arrived home, we found it well decorated with toilet paper draped everywhere, and the sheets on the bed were pulled short and were full of rice. Our missionary friends had fun while we were gone. While I was cleaning out the fridge a few days later, a parade of missionaries and their families arrived at our house, laden with our wedding gifts and refreshments. We had a fun party together while they watched us open our gifts. Among the gifts was a set of Bavarian china from some of the friends in Monrovia. We also received monetary gifts, some designated to add pieces to the set of china. Shortly after we were settled in our new home together, Roland pulled one of his stunts on me. I had never seen a lizard before coming to Liberia and was still trying to adjust to my new environment. He found a baby lizard on one of the walls and threatened to put it down my back. I did not like that idea, and I ran from him through the house and over the bed. He would not stop chasing me with a lizard. I didn't know what to do, so I started crying, something I rarely do. Roland stopped in his tracks. He didn't know what to do with a crying bride. He never chased me with a lizard again. When Roland started back to work at the radio station, I followed him around like a little puppy dog. I did not want to get out of his sight. I learned a lot about the variety of jobs he did at the station, in the carpenter shop, mechanic shop, studio building, etc. Soon I was put to work in the English program department, auditioning and editing tapes of English programs before they went on the air. Roland's main job was to schedule the programs and see that the tapes and records for each day were pulled from the program library and taken to the various control rooms to be aired in one of the 40 languages beamed out to the 4/5 of the African continent and into the Middle East in Arabic by shortwave. We praised the Lord together for all He had done for us in bringing us to Liberia and having a part in sharing the Word of God by radio with thousands of people in many African countries. After I was settled into my part of the work at the radio station, Roland and I wrote our first prayer letter together. We divided the letter in half. I wrote down one side of the page and my honey wrote the other half down the other side of the page, and we ended up together at the end. This is the way the letter went. This is my part. Radio Village, May 1958. Dear folks at home, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Here are some bits from my diary. February 19th. received an invitation to fly to Africa with Mr. R. G. Letourneau in his private plane. March 26th, took off from Longview, Texas at noon and arrived in Trinidad at 12:45 a.m. the 27th. March 27th, 8 hours after leaving Trinidad, we arrived in Natal, Brazil, and were warmly welcomed by some missionaries. March 29th, had to stay an extra day in Brazil to go through red tape. This is that long-awaited day. I stepped off the plane in Liberia, and there he was, my honey. April 1st. No fooling about this day. Our wedding day. All the ELWA staff pitched in and made it a beautiful wedding, which will long be remembered. The Lord has made us husband and wife. From now on, our prayer letters will be written together. And this is Roland's part. Monrovia, Liberia, May 1958. Dear friends, it was the day after Arlene was supposed to arrive in Liberia on the Turnos plane, and for 6 days there had been no word. I spent hours every day with three powerful receivers, one tuned to Longview, Texas, one to Trinita, the Turnos Center of Operations in Liberia, and one to Roberts Field, the main airfield here. But no word on their plane, the A-26. And then, estimated Liberian coast, 1430 GMT, A-26, over. Praise the Lord, the plane was safe. And in a few minutes, it landed safely at Roberts Field. And my sweetheart and I met for the first time in more than 2 years. 3 days later, in our big new studio, we were married. We believe the wedding was a testimony for the Lord. Most of the Liberians had never seen a truly Christian wedding before, and Liberian wedding vows do not include "as long as we two shall live," or "till death do us part." Our life's verse, which we quoted at our wedding, is, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." The rest of this letter was together. We spent a wonderful honeymoon week at the guest house of the Liberian Institute of Tropical Medicine in the Firestone Plantation. When we came back to ELWA Radio Village, we spent a week getting settled in our new home. Now we are enjoying our work together in the programming department of radio station ELWA. We are praising the Lord for calling us here to work for Him, and we're counting on your prayers. Your radio missionaries, Roland and Arlene Cornelius.